Okay, so today we have our guest Becca, of Becca J Styles. I have a little thing that she sent me that I promised myself I was going to have pulled up that I do not have pulled up. OMG. Okay. So Becca is a body positive model, body confidence coach, and image stylist. You can follow her on Instagram at the underscore Becca J, and then also at stylist Becca J. And she's fabulous. And she's here today to talk to us about body positivity. We're kind of doing like a part two of potentially a lot for our body image episode. And we're very excited. And this is Libby, and I'm drinking Horse Heaven Hills Red Blend, and it's mediocre at best, but it's okay.
I like how you have the bottle right next to you, like ready to go for a
You
refill.
see, I'm in my little reading corner with my bottle of wine.
It's Cody, and I'm back today with another basic bro or basic white girl drink. It's a Truly strawberry lemonade, but at least I'm drinking something. I needed this after a long day of work.
Nice, Cody. I am Morgan. I am currently not drinking. I just ran inside of my house, didn't pour anything, but I might have to go grab a white glass of wine. I've really been digging the white wine lately, so I'll have to go grab one.
This is Becca. I think you definitely should go grab that white wine. I can talk while you go.
Okay, I'll go do it
I'm
then.
so awesome. I'm so happy to be on. Thank you for having me. And I am actually not abiding by the rules just to kick this off. I have green juice. Just because I feel like I've been drinking a lot, actually. And so I would like to set my body up for success as we go into a new season. And I figured we should just, wind it back a little bit. So green juice today, maybe wine tomorrow. Or maybe this evening, I don't know.
Well, we'll let you off the hook this time in the spirit of listening to your body.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Cheers, Morgan. Morgan has her whole bottle of wine in her little she shed with her.
Cheers. She said
Now I'm ready to talk.
And this is like a whole new experience for us because we've never seen each other's faces while we do this, and I'm very distracted by the faces. But it's kind of nice to see where everyone's sitting. Cody has a really nice window. Becca has plants. Morgan has also a very nice window. I have a white wall and a pillow. Yeah. Welcome to
It
Dietitian
is.
Power Hour, folks.
Yay, I'm so excited to talk body positivity today and hear from Becca.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So,
kind of
Becca,
today.
you're our first guest that we've ever had. So maybe we could just
So
have you tell
exciting.
everyone, maybe just what it is you do and just tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, so I have an image styling business, so it's wardrobe and styling consulting. So a shorthand way of just saying a personal stylist. And then also do modeling. So it's all from a body positive and self-love principle. And then through doing both of those things, I realized that like a body confidence coach or just coaching on people's body image and self-esteem was really needed. And it was happening in my sessions with styling clients. So that title has come along and it's actually something that I really love to talk about and talk to anybody about it. So when it comes to body image and self-love, body confidence, I could talk about till I'm blue in the face. And it's not something I really plan to do. So I've been in the fashion industry my career. I got my degree in fashion design and merchandising, and I've been in the fashion industry for 15, 16 years now, and worked in several different capacities in the fashion industry. And then 4 years ago, started my styling business. And when I was in school, styling was always my goal. So I knew I wanted to start it at some point. When I finally got the balls to start it, I just had the idea of just wanting to really teach women about how to dress their shapes and really thinking that there wasn't like a lot of info about how someone could develop their unique style and understand their unique body shape. And I saw that it was happening. I struggled with it and then saw like other women struggling with it a lot. So that was my simple way of wanting to, or that's how I wanted to start my business. And then it morphed into something much bigger, and realizing as I was in these sessions and just hearing women's stories of just all these horrible things about how they've thought about their body or what they were told about their body. And then I started doing public speaking because I just was really motivated about, like, there's a message here that needs to be spread. Simultaneously, what's happening at that time is the body positivity movement is starting to pick up. And so it was perfect. I was thinking, oh, I'm in the right place at the right time. And this was, like, perfectly designed for me. And then modeling has always been in the background. And I walked away from it in my 20s because I felt like it was a really unhealthy industry. I was considered plus size, and I thought that was the healthy way to model, and it was not. And I was told when I got accepted to a modeling agency that I was like a size 12, 14, and that they were going to use me in like size 18 promotions. And I went to that audition to build my self-confidence and self-esteem. I realized I didn't think that great of my body. And this was like at 22. But I walked away from it because morally I was conflicted of, you know, I just didn't like the idea that they would be using me to tell a woman that was a size 18 what she should look like, when in fact that was not it. So walked away from it. And then when I was, you know, started my business and public speaking and modeling, it was now like the industry has shifted so much. So felt like it was now like a thing that I wanted to be involved in. And it was a much positive culture. And so then the three things were building together. And so here we are. And I'm very, very passionate about empowering people, not only to be uniquely who they are, but just to embrace, you know, the body that they have. And I just want to say, like, all of the suggestions and the advice that I give is based off of my own experience, and also just the things that I've observed working with clients, and just my own observations in different industries. So I am not a psychologist. I am not, you know, trained medically in any of these things. This is just my advice and the things that I've, you know, seen, my perspective. But yeah, it's really good. It's really juicy. There's a lot to it. And then just one last thing, I just want to mention that alongside in my 20s, when I was in school and in building my career in fashion and whatnot, I also was paralleling being around the bodybuilding and fitness industry. So I have a health issue where I was starting to really focus on my health. And then I was heavily involved in the bodybuilding industry, which gave me such great insight for what I do now, of just really seeing, you know, how people were morphing their bodies and working really hard on their bodies and then not necessarily feeling that great internally about what they had. So it gave me a very unique perspective. Yes. So That's it in a nutshell.
Whoa. I feel like you've really seen all sides of it there, from the modeling to the fashion and like the coaching industry, but then also the bodybuilding. Really absolutely. Valuable perspective.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of meat there. I've gotten to meet so many cool people, and I've got to get a lot of different perspectives. And for me, it always comes back to being really whole and holistic about how we think about these things. So yes, it's helped me a lot. Yeah.
So one thing that we're always talking about on the show is nutrition. How big of a piece do you think that plays in this body image obsession? Why the connection to nutrition when it comes down to this with people?
Oh my gosh, it's huge. I would say, you know, I think to pull it back a little bit further of just thinking about, it's really breaking like the stigma of how we think about our bodies and how we think about our health and our fitness. And, you know, I was re-listening to your guys' first episode about body image and how you could look like you're in shape, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are, or vice versa. You could look like you're not the quote unquote in shape or healthy, but you potentially could be pretty healthy, right? You could have healthy habits. So I think that, you know, when it comes to nutrition, it's really, it's a hard thing to, not hard. It's a complex subject to break down because of what we were told about food. You know, like think about, there's a diet commercial every other, you know, ad on TV and now Instagram or social media and all these different fad diets and all these different things that if you're not really super aware that these things can really grab hold of you and do a number on you without you even knowing it. So I've had to really work hard to think about what my relationship to food was and how I've used it in the past and how I've had to also acknowledge that I abused it. And then now of like, how do I want to use it in a way to nourish me? Not to like, I'm not drinking green juice because I want to lose 5 pounds. I'm drinking green juice because it makes me feel good. And I was feeling a little sluggish. So I just kind of backed off one thing and then am using this to help me feel better. So now it's all about how do I want to feel? And then understanding that if I feel better, I'm going to look better. And then it's just all going to be, you know, connected.
Wow. Preach it.
I think that's a super good point. And especially like you don't hear the diets on TV telling you like, this is going to improve your health. What are their target audience? It's like, you're going to lose 10 pounds in a week and a half on nothing but a hard boiled egg and rage. Like it's just such a, you know, diet culture isn't centered around your health. It's centered around how you look, which is just right. Kind of terrifying to me because it's like, and not the same, but we can track good effort maybe.
And it really targets those feelings of guilt and like body image, which there's a whole.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, think about like, you know, if you, you drink like a, or you have like a piece of cake. And if you really pay attention to people, they'll be kind of try to be inconspicuous about like, you know, taking a piece of cake or like they'll apologize or they will rationalize that they're going to eat this piece of cake and then after they're going to work it off. And I can say I used to do the same too. You know, like I would feel bad after I ate it because I was told I shouldn't have it. I was told that
it's a bad food or.
Right. If I have too much of it, then it's going to, you know, I'm going to put on fat or I'm going to, when I was younger, excuse me, it was that my hips were going to get bigger. Big hips and a big ass were not like a good thing back then. And so like I grew up and I was born in the 80s and the 80s, 90s, that was not something that was celebrated. And so it's actually quite amazing that you do see curves now. I know it's, you know, with anything, it goes to its extremes and now it's just all kinds of crazy and there's all kinds of things that you can do to your body that so many people are doing, which to each their own. But I think that it's definitely like something that can be really shameful with food. And I think it's an ongoing process. I often think about now of like, okay, if I have said food, how am I going to feel after? And I don't mean just emotionally, I mean like physically. So I have fibromyalgia and I've had it for almost 20 years and food and everything affects me quite quickly, which is also, I feel like is kind of a blessing because I know very quickly if I should have had that food or not. But I also want to live a balanced lifestyle. So I know that if I eat sugar that I'm going to probably have to pay for it a little bit within 15 minutes. I'm going to feel it in my joints and I'm going to feel it in my body. But sometimes like a bowl of ice cream is just fucking worth it. So I'm going to drink a whole bunch of water and I'm going to do all the things and I'm going to make sure that like I go sweat the next day, not because I'm trying to lose it, but just because I want to, you know, help my body process it. And I want to live. I still want to live a balanced lifestyle. So, but not doing it from a place of like feeling shameful about it. And I definitely used to. Especially, you know, before I competed at one point in a bodybuilding competition. And I even knew a lot when I went into competing. And even then, I still had to deal with the emotional turmoil of like the relationship to food and how it can get negative real fast when you're like, you know, constantly looking and observing your body of how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
So this is actually a good, we had a question from a listener, and it was just to kind of chat about food guilt and then humility around others when you're giving into cravings, right? So like you go out to dinner and you want a piece of chocolate cake, you get the piece of chocolate cake, but then, you know, you feel guilty about it. And just to, so this is probably Morgan and Cody, maybe more of a, but also a conversation, you know, from a fibromyalgia perspective, you talked about with the ice cream, sometimes it's just fucking worth it. And yeah. Getting kind of getting rid of that guilt that we have around food. And
yeah, totally. Becca, I have a question for you. So as a person that, as a coach, do you, how do you approach, or how would you go about helping a person kind of shift that focus from physical appearance to more of just feeling better? Because we do live in such a physical appearance focused world that I think that's the biggest struggle. And it's really hard as a dietitian. I can say, oh, just love your body and be confident, but it's so hard for people to do that. So how would you start helping someone shift, kind of shift their focus to that?
Yeah, that is a great question. I would usually, it happens in a very conversational place of like, you know, where usually I'm in their home and we're talking about different things that they want to wear or don't wear or whatnot. And we start breaking down why or why not. And so food, health goals, wellness goals, body goals, whatever, always come into play. And so I always ask them like, okay, so if you were to strip away all the things that you think you're supposed to do or you should do, how do you want to feel? Like, who is that person that you want to show up when you go out to dinner with your husband or your partner, or you go out to with your girlfriends? Like, how is it that you want to be in these places? And then, you know, really starting there. So it's all encompassing. It just doesn't have to do with food, but just really what their mentality is, their mindset in general. And the best way for me to approach it is usually the situationally based. So I'll have them give me an example of when they didn't feel that great or something you struggled with. And then we just start pulling back the proverbial onion and like just start thinking about like, okay, so what is it that was going on? Where do you think that came from? And how is it that you want to feel? So, because I think the biggest thing is really understanding like where that behavior, that mindset is coming from. And then building back up from there. Because, yeah, I mean, it's really hard to just be like, go love your body. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, I'm going to need fucking more, actually. I'm going to need some more info. Yeah, and when I started this, I was thinking, how would I tell someone to love their body when I can acknowledge I don't love mine, all of mine, all the time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really like, if you think about love, love is unconditional. But when we talk about body positivity and body love or however you want to self-love, it's still conditionally based. So I think that it's just really pulling back the layers and always like challenging yourself of like, okay, how do I really want to feel? I know for me that I love pizza and I will never, ever give up pizza. Like pizza and wine is one of my favorite dates in the whole entire world.
Same.
Right? So... And again, like, I just know that I'm going to take the proper steps to make sure that like I feel good before and after. And I've also realized too that the whole thing of when you like prevent yourself from having it and you tell yourself you cannot have XYZ, you're just going to want XYZ that much more.
Absolutely.
And I learned this when I was in the bodybuilding prep of like, when I would do that, my mindset went to such a negative place. Mm-hmm. And so I had to really challenge myself and think about how is it that I want to be, you know, participating and how do I want to be in that place? So, because if I want pizza, rather than wanting it for 3 weeks, because I'm told I can't, if I were just to give in to the craving and have the pizza, now I'm over it. The next day, I'm on it. I want to like feel better. And I'm like on my way. I'm not now obsessing over this thing I can't have.
Right. Right.
I think it's really sad with diet culture in general too, what it does to people. Something I'm fascinated with is what it does to people's hunger and fullness cues. People get really out of touch with their bodies because they're trying to, it's almost like you're sort of forcing yourself to eat only certain things at certain times. And people really lose touch with even knowing what it is they're hungry for and how that food affects their body, how it makes them feel.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I totally agree. That's one of, you know, meal prep to me is something that's really a struggle because you're prepping a certain ounce of protein and a certain amount of vegetable and, you know, you throw an orange in there or whatever you're into. And then it's like, that's it, right? That's all. Or maybe it's too much. Maybe you're not a big lunch person, but you have this like pre-portioned thing. And I mean, I personally have a hard time leaving food on my plate. And I know that's something that comes from the childhood of you have to finish what's on your plate, which, you know, isn't maybe the way to go. But I also was the youngest of five. So mom, if you listen, I'm not judging you. But it's, you know, I think it's just one of those things that it's like, we are, instead of listening to kind of using intuitive eating to listen to our satiety and hunger cues, we're just like, well, Google told me that 4 ounces of protein and 6 sprigs of asparagus and no bread is going to make me lose 10 pounds. So I'm going to eat this, even if I'm not hungry or even if I'm hungrier. Like, you know, and it's just that kind of mindful eating. You're thinking while you're eating slowly, and you're knowing whether you're hungry or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's something that's really, that's lacking. And then that feeds into our diet culture. And it also feeds into food guilt, because then you go out and you eat 2 pieces of pizza instead of one. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And then you withhold pizza for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and maybe you binge a little on pizza and then you mm-hmm. feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. It's super vicious cycle.
Rigid food rules.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
Cody always has a word or a phrase for everything that we
do. Yeah, I appreciate it.
You always have the trendiest
word. I think.
It's a thing. It's a thing. But no, Becca, when you were talking about just uncovering that mindset and kind of those deeper sources of why the person wants to look a certain way or feel a certain way, like mm-hmm. Libby, I know you've talked before on the podcast about your mom just being a confident person in general and really not caring about sort of how her body fits into our beauty standards and things like that. And I've thought about that a lot. I think it's really cool. And I think more people ought to be focused on just actively working on feeling good about themselves, right? And not allowing yourself to place conditions. Like, I can only feel good about myself if I have 6-pack abs, or I can only feel good about myself if I have an Instagram ass. Because that's a hard way to live. And Libby, you also talk a lot about just and being able to enjoy life and enjoy food, because it's one of the great pleasures of life. And absolutely. I think our rigid body image standards are really robbing that from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, again, segues nicely into another question that we had. So people assume that if you're body positive, you're always comfortable and confident in your skin. And I know that that always isn't the case. How do you shake mm-hmm. off the negativity in your head and keep that positive outlook on the hard days? And that is like the age old question, I think. Mm-hmm. So Cody brought up my mom. I grew up in a house. We never had a scale. We didn't talk about bodies. Not ever in a negative way. I never heard my mom one time say, oh, my arms are so fat. You know, she never, ever said that. And we weren't allowed to wear makeup until, honestly, she hates that I wear makeup now, not right now, but, you know, she just hates it. Cause I've seen my mom in makeup maybe 5 times, and she is super confident. And I think part of it is she just really doesn't give a shit. And then the other part of it is she wanted to leave an impression on her kids that was positive. She had 3 girls
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we all grew up to be pretty fucking confident, if I do say so myself. And it's direct, you know, it's because of that. But also my grandma grew up in the 20s and she smoked cigarettes to stay skinny, and my mom grew up around that, right? So it's kind of that. I think it's hard. There's days that we've talked, I bring it up fairly often. I'm a pretty small person. And when I put weight on, I don't put it on very well. It goes straight to my belly. And there's days that it's really, really challenging. And then there's days like yesterday, I got a new pair of jeans. They look so good. But when I sit down, I have a hell of a roll that pops up like around my ribs because they're high-waisted. They're Levi's, so they do not stretch. And I rocked them in this like really cute little top and I felt fantastic. Would I wear that maybe tomorrow when I'm feeling bloated or whatever? Maybe not. But, you know, it's just...
But that's why you have a closet full of clothes too, right?
Like there's days that I want to be super comfy and I wear something loose. And there's days that I'm feeling like one sexy little Libby and I wear whatever the hell I want. But I'm not ever 100% confident in myself. And I think that that's... If you are, God bless. Because I can't be, right? But
yeah, like everyone has insecurities from time to time. Yeah. But it's like, are you going to believe the lies that really the media and social media are trying to market to you in order to get you to buy supplements? No.
Well, and Instagram models probably don't feel 100% all the time either. What you see on the internet and what people experience in real life are not the same fucking thing. They're just not. People have bad days. And guess what? They're not posting to Instagram on their bad days.
Right. And we've talked about social media.
I was just going to say, it could be that like that was real in that moment, right? But that was a snapshot of their day, like a moment when they were feeling very confident and they were good and they, you know, just were feeling like the bomb.com and that's awesome. And it's not to say that that's not real, that was falsified, but then they're still human. Right. So maybe the rest of the day they didn't or whatever. And that's not to be shunned. But I think it's really interesting that so the problem why body positivity came out was because it was this ideal of perfection we were trying to achieve with our bodies or beauty. And now there's this thing that's naturally coming along with body positivity where there's this perfection thing again of like, I have to feel positive 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. No, you're human. Right. So it's that I think that you have to take out and consider your humanity and that you're still going to have your good and your bad days. And it doesn't mean that you're not body positive or whatever you want to label it. It doesn't mean that you don't love yourself, but that you're going to have your highs and your lows. There are days that I don't feel 100% like the most confident, but then I take the proper steps that I need to really take care of myself. Like maybe in those moments, I need a little more self-care. Or maybe something emotionally is going on where I just need like some time by myself. Or maybe I need to go around my girlfriends that will make me feel like the bomb.com again. Who knows? You know, but it's like this, it's really unrealistic to think that you're going to feel great 100% of the time and that you're only body positive if you do that. Or you only have whatever. And I think that that's definitely one of the biggest misconceptions that I run into. With, you know, what it means to be body positive. And it's funny because as this, you know, this movement continues to unfold, now there's a new term called body neutral. Mm-hmm. And it's basically talking about that of like, you know, that you're just being really realistic with how you treat your body. I really don't care what you label it. It's just, can you just embrace the one body that you have, like the one vehicle, the one thing that you really truly own in this life and like take care of it. I was on this call the other day and it was the coolest thing I've ever heard. This guy had said, your body is your ticket to play in this game of life. Oh, like that's what your body is.
I love that.
And I thought that was such a playful way to put it because we put so much pressure on what our bodies look like or what it's doing or what it's not doing. And it's not that all focus needs to be shifted away from our body. I don't believe in that either. Like you can't completely take yourself out of the physical, but it's just an extreme amount, an unproportionate amount of focus has been put on it. So if we could have a little more balance and then just come at it from the place of like treating your body with care and really like, if you knew this is, you understand this is really the only thing that you own through this life. Like, how are you really going to nourish and take care of it? And then understanding that your mindset and your heart, your soul, spirit, all those things are connected to your body. So then like having more of a holistic view of it. Mm-hmm. But to think that you're going to feel good in your body 100% of the time is setting yourself up for failure. That's not what it's about.
Right.
It's okay to feel like shit some days. It's totally fine.
I love that. And I like how you pointed out that it is all about balance, because I have heard some criticism of the body positivity movement is that it still puts that focus on how your body looks rather than like the functionality of your body or how you feel. Yes. So I like that, you said that it is about balance, because I think it is important to feel like you look good and it's okay to care how you look. But mm-hmm. also with balancing, mm-hmm. how do you feel and how does your body function and everything. So I really like that you mentioned it's all about balance. I love that.
And as it relates to nutrition, good nutrition is not how food supposedly makes your body look. It's about nourishing your body and meeting your nutrient needs. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Totally.
And I think, but it's hard. A lot of us have learned to really equate foods with, oh, this is going to make me fat. This food is bad. Mm-hmm. This food, I have to, yeah, like hide that I'm eating it or like apologize. And it's ridiculous, right? I mean, as dietitians, we tell people all the time, there's no such thing as a good food or a bad food. And I think a lot of people are like, they hear that and they're like, oh yeah, right. But still, I'm not going to eat certain things, you know? But guys, it's really true. Like, it's all about the overall picture. And it's become so oversimplified to say, well, I can't have carbs because that's going to make me fat and ugly. And people are really hard on themselves. And it's just, that's why we talk about what we talk about.
Oh, I just totally lost my thought. And I'm so bummed because it was a good point, Cody. And
that's okay.
That's the worst.
We were talking about like just good food, bad food, right? Yeah. And like equating it to looks. But that's not what nutrition is about.
Yeah, no, it's not. And that's, I don't remember what I was going to say.
It's God.
In my sleep or something.
This is kind of a side note, but Becca, I think it's so cool. Your combination of things you do just fits together so well. And you mentioned being into like, I don't know if you said stylist or like clothing stylist. And I think it is so important to find clothes that really just make you feel good. Like when I have a good outfit on, kind of like Libby mentioned, I'm like, yeah, it looks really fucking good today. And I think it's so cool.
Change the world.
Yes. I love that so much. And I just think the combination of like your background and everything that you're interested in is just really cool.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Again, like I didn't, you know, like I definitely have always had these interests. And now I look back and I'm like, oh, my entire career has been about the body. Why am I not surprised?
I love that.
But and it's really interesting to see, you know, especially to be in fashion where it's, you know, typically it's a very external, superficial thing, right?
Right.
And then I've had to, you know, I love the people where they come up to me and they tell me like, oh, I don't care what I look like. That doesn't matter to me. Ooh, I love that conversation. Because it's, you know, like understanding that again, it's like, it's not the thing itself. It's not the food. It's not the clothes that is bad or good, but it's what we like have our intention or our mindset that we've applied to it. Right. So the clothes itself is not bad. But it's just like the thing, like the dress doesn't make the woman makes the dress. Right. But that dress can really help a lot of things. So if you're wearing something that's really meant for you and you really understand your unique style, you are so empowered. And it's like you get to show up as you and your full uniqueness. And then you get to do what you're supposed to do. I don't think that we're meant, as much as I love clothes, we're not meant to worry about clothes all day. But think about like if you put something on and then you go out throughout your day and all that you're thinking in the back of your head is, does this fit? Is this appropriate? Is there a stain on this? Like, what's even happening? And now you're taken out of where you're needing to be mentally, right? You're not thinking about, maybe you're not fully present in that meeting or with your family or at that meal or whatever. And I don't think that that's correct either. But I do think that when you put on something that's really fit for you, when you know how to dress your body, and you see your body for how amazing it is, perceived flaws and all. I did a good air quote there. That it really, like, you can be quite empowered. And when I switched that for myself and noticed how I was maybe not really showing up fully, but I've always loved clothes. And I'm continuing. I mean, it's an ongoing journey of embracing it. That, like, give me a dress, like a good dress that I love, and I, whew, you can't tell me anything. I'm still nice. I'm always kind, but you cannot. Like, I'm gonna run something that day, and it's amazing, like, how it can really help you. Yep. And I think, you know, it's this understanding that it's like an internal and external exchange. It's between, like, I always say that, like, I'm helping what's internally, like, come out on the external, and that you're accurately representing who you are on the inside, on the outside. Like, our clothes are just, our image is just an introduction into who you are. It's not everything. You couldn't possibly say everything or show everything that you are on the outside in one outfit. It would be horrible. But it is a really good introduction, right? So often, you know, the work that I do for all of it, even the modeling, when I'm getting myself ready for photo shoots, it is primarily internal work. What is my mindset? How is, like, what's my mind telling my body? What's the mind-body connection? How am I moving in my body? How do I feel? Where are my emotions at? Where's my heart at? All these things. And then that is then shown in the external. Right. So, And when I notice, maybe no one else will, but when I don't feel that great, I will see it externally. Like, think about, we all know that, like, posture is huge, right? So if someone's really confident, especially a man, Cody, I saw you sit up. Like, when a man is really confident, he, like, stands up tall, and you can see it in his shoulders and his neck, right? Like, in his chest. A woman, it's kind of the same thing, like, her spine is tall and she has this certain air, like, lifts her chin in a certain way. Like, when you feel confident, you are, like, you're in a different space. And so clothes absolutely can help. Nutrition, like, this is why I always talk about, like, how do you want to feel? Like, if something makes you feel shitty when you eat something crappy, like, then that's probably not going to be the best for you. And that doesn't mean that that's only, like, you know, quote unquote bad foods. Veggies don't always make me feel great.
True that.
But yeah, I'm sorry to go off on that tangent, but yeah, it's really interesting how it's all connected.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to revisit, Becca, you'd said at the very beginning of the episode, and I feel like maybe I missed the story. Maybe I'm repeating, but you said when you went to your first modeling shoot and you were a size 12 or 14 and they wanted you to be the size 8. What did you do? What even happened? I'm curious. Did you do the shoot and just never work for them again? Or,
well, so it was an audition for a agency. And honestly, the reason why I did it, and actually a friend of mine that I am forever indebted to, encouraged me to go to it because she wanted me to, I told her, like, that I was not feeling that confident. And I actually was modeling in college. I was doing, like, some of the runway shows and whatnot. And I was identifying that I didn't feel that great in my body. And it was, you know, taking me back through, like, oh, I don't think I've ever really felt that confident in my body. And so went to the audition. At that time, I was probably, like, a solid 14 and size 14. And then, did, like, the test photo shoot and all the things for, you know, to see if they wanted to accept me as a model. And then in the aftermath, they had told me that, you know, this is who we would use you, like, to the audience that we would use you for. And these are probably the clients we're looking for that, that would use you. So, like, clothing brands and whatnot. And I ended up, again, like, it was so interesting because at that time I was so sensitive and insecure in my body. And this is how I knew, like, that there was just something wrong, because when they told me that I was going to be used in size 18 campaigns, I didn't feel, and even my pictures, like, I looked bigger than I was. I noticeably saw that. Mm-hmm. And I did not feel bad actually at all. Like, it didn't trigger any, like, insecurity in myself. It was more Like I said, I was just morally conflicted of like, how dare you? You're going to use me to tell a woman that is a size 18, that is not bad at all, that she needs to look like this when in fact, in reality, she doesn't know that that person is three sizes smaller. Mm-hmm. And then realizing now of like, oh, why? I know why I was so passionate about that. And so I didn't say anything. I just walked away from it. I will tell you though, in all honesty, I should have had a conversation. I shouldn't have just walked away from it. That is definitely one regret that I have. Not my principal, but just the way that I dealt with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really interesting. Like just, you know, I've always, it's so funny now with like social media and stuff. And I was, like I said, really listening to your guys' first one. And yes, social media can be really toxic and it can be really bad, but there's also a lot of good things that come from it. Like I know for me, it's been very helpful. And this is something that I strive to do with my modeling platform is that when I was, you know, freshman in high school, I was 175 and 5'9". And according to, you know, every time I went to the doctor's BMI, I was obese. And I never thought of myself as fat. I was just big is how I thought of myself. And what was happening was I had a woman's body and I was, you know, a teenager, a tween. And I had no idea what to do with it. No one else in my family had an ass or hips. I felt like they came, I had them out the womb. Like I just, it wasn't something that I was just even familiar with. So as I was growing up, I've realized too, to go back and track of like how I just didn't know what to do with it because I didn't see it either. So that's where social media can be really positively impactful is that now women that maybe have not seen themselves represented or men, because remember like body image stuff is not, no one's immune from it. I don't care if you're male, female, size 2, size 20, 5'1", 6'7", it doesn't matter that no one's immune.
Sorry, speaking of male, sure. Female, I just had an eating disorder patient admitted a couple weeks ago who was a teenage boy.
Yeah.
And definitely a minority, but it's not exclusive to girls. It's
what
people imagine.
Right. And we've like, there's been a lot of good progress that has happened with inclusivity in general, but we have a long ways to go. And so with social media, it can be really impactful for now, especially these teenagers, to see, you know, like themselves represented and like there, you know, there's this really weird polarization that's happening where you have social media where it's really perfect. You know, their grid is perfect. Their pictures are perfect. You can use any filter to, you know, soften your skin, which I'm guilty of. I've used before in my down moments, but, you know, there's so many things. We all have Photoshop on our phone and you could go that route. But then there's the other side where if you choose, you can be really, really authentic and vulnerable and show other people like what it looks like to be, you know, real. And so I think in that way, social media is really impactful. That's for me how I try to use it. And that even then, like, you know, the things that I still have issues with or kind of troubles getting over, like then if I see someone else, you know, really rocking that with full confidence, it helps me as well, you know, with like any of these perceived flaws, like a tummy or a cellulite or stretch marks or whatever it may be. So I think that it takes like a lot of discernment, but if you're really aware, you can use social media in a really good way too.
I love that.
I like it too.
Yeah. And we've talked about, we all know how Libby feels because I've brought it up, right? I don't follow people if they have the super fake Instagram. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. And I don't use filters personally, right? I did almost filter the food post I made yesterday because I could not get good lighting on those ravioli. Let me tell you. But, you know, I post pictures without makeup. I post pictures of my tummy. I post pictures of me with a beer looking stupid. I mean, I just, and, but also, I mean, I've never really used social media for any purpose other than all of the people who already know me. You know, if you look at my Instagram, I have 620 followers and I follow 620 people. You know, I know every single person by name and Instagram handle on my page. And that's just me, right? And I just don't, I think it's just unfair because we have this expectation of perfection and perfect skin and perfect hair mm-hmm. and perfect, you know, and I've never really fit any sort of
mold. Perfect life, really.
Yeah, right?
Like the vacations.
Yes. Instagram, the Instagram wedding and the Instagram vacation and the Instagram dog and the, you know, it's just, it's exhausting. I mean, I have a really, it's exhausting. And so I follow some really cool, large platforms with people who are authentic mm-hmm. and who are real mm-hmm. and who show candids and who don't filter their shit, mm-hmm. who swear on their Instagram stories, and it's refreshing. Yes. And it makes me feel really good because it's real life. It's not TV. It's not, you know, it's normal humans who happen to have a big following. Mm-hmm. And for that, I really appreciate Instagram. Like Becca was saying, I do love that there are people who use it for good, but I wish there were fewer people who used it to body shame people.
Well, and I think too, like, we have to be careful of like not doing what's been done to us, right? So like if someone chooses to have, you know, filter their pictures or have a certain aesthetic, that's up to them and they should do what you want. It's kind of same thing with like, if you want to like, you know, do surgery and augment your body, go for it. That's your choice. But then also, you know, thinking about like, doesn't necessarily mean that they're like, you know, trying to body shame or whatever someone else. It could just be, it's their own personal journey and experience. I found that with like myself, like I, the majority of my pictures and my content is as real as I can get it. And I'm always working to be more authentic. There are a few times that I will do like a filter, like on my Instagram stories, never my pictures, but Instagram stories sometimes, because you know what, like this is a weird thing, is those filters are getting really good. And so it's kind of this new dangerous territory of like, wow, that's, your skin looks good. There was one where I'm like, my eyes look amazing. And like no lighting can ever, they're really truly that color, but lighting typically won't get them to look that way. But
yeah, it's almost like when, like on Star Wars, where they recreate Carrie Fisher yeah. and CGI just because they can. And it's like, yes. Well, should you?
Yeah. So how do you think that translates though in this world where we see ourselves through a filter? And that's the only picture that we're willing to post. Then when we look at ourselves in a mirror, how are we
for feeling?
Sure. You know? Maybe and that comes back to that mindset though.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing it?
I love that you said that. Cause that's exactly where I was going of like, first, you know, it's kind of like even like back in mass media when there was Photoshop or is Photoshop, that just because someone is Photoshopped or has a filter doesn't mean that that's not them. That's still a part of them. But then, yes, I think that you have to be really, really careful, especially now, that you're not always looking to the pictures that are or have a filter over your face, because then it does distort reality a little bit. And then what happens is then you then don't feel that great about who you naturally are, which is absolutely not okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that you just have to, again, use a lot of discernment and be really careful about how you use it. And know that, like, if you want to use a filter, cool, do it. And you're beautiful and absolutely amazing without it. And if that's, like, the way that you want to express yourself that day, cool, you should be able to do that with no shame. But really understanding that you without makeup, without clothes, just who you naturally are is enough. It's absolutely enough. So it's definitely, yes, like Cody said, like a mindset for sure. And I think that when it comes into the filters and all the Photoshop and all those things, you just have to really tread lightly. Like I found myself just kind of like evaluate, like even looking at my skin a little bit differently. Like I've never had a problem with my skin. And now I think that it maybe needs some work. What? No, that's when I then like pull myself aside and like, all right, girlfriend, we need to have a chitty chat. Like we just, no more of that. But I think that it's just, yeah, someone has to be really, aware. And I think it's totally possible. But that you can use those things. You just need to use it. Knowing that, I think it's the intention, right? Like
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all intention.
It's like I think people want that that sense of confidence and validation, but it's just like, we need to be careful of where we're getting that. If we're looking outside of ourselves,
for sure,
like for the likes, or if we're really giving ourselves grace and working on just feeling good about our natural selves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're always going to have some type of body image issue that we're going to have to run up against, not necessarily individually, but just culturally. And you know, with what the beauty standards are right now, it's like a big butt. That's great. But 20 years ago, it was really big boobs. So it's always, there's going to be something else. And then there's going to be always new things, especially with technology. So I think that it's always really grounding yourself and just, you know, remembering that, like, yeah, you're good without it. Like, you're cool. It's fine. And like grounding really in that fact. But
and then, you know,
go ahead.
Just when you're thinking of yourself, when you're looking at pants on a website and they're wearing a size 2 and you wear a size 2, you don't have to look the same. You're not going to look the same. You're going to fit those jeans differently. Mm-hmm. Unless you're identical twins, and then maybe.
Yeah. But you know, what I always tell clients is that, like, so, you know, get a good idea of like what your individual style is and what, brands are like fit that style and like what fit your body shape, because different brands do better jobs at fitting different shapes and whatnot. And then understand that even then they didn't have the opportunity to meet your unique body when they created those pants, right? They didn't have that pleasure. So it may be a size 2 online, and if you have to size up when you get them, who cares? Like, for me, as long as my ass looks good, it's fine. I don't care what size it is. So it's like, you know, back to like the scale and like the numbers, like that's one piece of the puzzle, but that shouldn't be all of it. Like, all of your value should not be placed on the scale. All of your value should not be placed on that you're a size 2 or whatever it may be. But it's like, again, like, how do you feel? What's your intention? And to bring it back to food, because this is a dietitian podcast, you know, like, I think about like, what is my intention when I eat said food? And I've had to really work through that mentally of, like I had said at the beginning, like, I identified that in the past, like, I abused food. I would use it as a way to emotionally cope with whatever was going on in my life. And so now I do it because I really love food, and my hips really food. So they're happy when I'm happy. And so it's like, you know, just, it's all about your intention. When you wear a dress, what are you wearing it for? Are you wearing it for you? Or what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you want to achieve in that? Like, when you eat or when you drink the green juice, what is it that you're going for? You know, like, all of it. It's just all, to me, it all comes back intention. I have some girlfriends that have gotten surgery, you know, breast implants. And I've seen some that did it from a really healthy place and others that did not. They wanted to fix their body. And others that just identified that it was just something that they really had a hard time with. And once they got those implants, it was like, they felt amazing. So it's not, again, it's not the thing that's bad. It's like the importance or the value we place on it that can be a little skewed.
Right.
I want that printed on a t-shirt.
Me too. The whole thing.
Me three.
The whole thing. I mean, it has to be like front and back. Yeah. Small font.
Just completely.
But seriously, Becca, I'm going to use that. Like, it's all about intention.
Always.
And with food, like, for me, I always want to help people shift from that intention of image-based and feeling guilty towards an intention of health and self-care.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Self-care, self-love. That's what I always go to. Like, sometimes eating the pizza is self-love. Sometimes, though, it's not. Sometimes I'm tired and maybe I'm really stressed out and I'm using it as a way to cope, and I can identify, okay, maybe this isn't going to be the best thing for me. Right? Like, but part of that self-love is keeping myself honest. And then one thing that I really wanted to touch on too is quickly of like the misconception that if you love your body, you can't change it. Bullshit.
Mm. Oh yeah. That's huge.
Bullshit. Right? Like, it's your one body. So again, it's your intention. If you're doing it from a place that you think you need to fix it, that implies it's broken. Your body is not broken. But if you do it from a place of like, I just really want to feel good. I want to be able to, I have clients set other health goals besides weight. So I want to be able to play with my kids for an hour. I want to be able to get on the ground with them. I want to be able to walk up the stairs. I want to be able to go on a 2-mile walk with my husband, you know, whatever it may be. But it's all about like what your intention is when you're going for it. So if you want to change your body, I mean, go for it. I mean, I've even identified, I'm like, okay, I think I got a little comfortable in COVID. And I think that like, there's just things that don't feel the best. Mm-hmm. The difference is now compared to like in the past is I don't feel bad about it. I just know like, okay, I just need to like, you know, straighten up my diet, maybe clean it up a little bit, be a little more careful about what I'm eating and a little more conscious of it. Hence the green juice. And not scotch, which I would love. But, you know, it's like, it's this whole idea that you only love your body if you're like complacent. And I don't think complacency is part of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just such an important, I feel like a little bit, I've definitely attacked weight loss a little bit mm-hmm. for sure on the first three episodes. But it's not weight loss. It's the method of which you achieve your weight loss.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
I'm all for if you want to, I base your, I don't base your health, but I think a big part of health is being able to do the things that you want to do. If you want to run a marathon there, you know, you're going to lose weight. That's just what's going to happen because you're running 26 miles. Good God. If you don't lose weight, you're really skinny already because it's a lot of work. Okay. And you're burning a lot of calories, but it's just
form follows function.
Exactly. Right. And there's, you know, it doesn't ever mean that you can't lose weight. Like Becca, I've also gotten a little comfortable in COVID. I finally, you know, I finally like gave up on the jeans that I wore as a senior in high school. Like this
Thank
year.
God.
Okay? Thank Jeez. God. Right? We needed it. But I found, you know, I found a pant size that's probably my appropriate pant size for where I like to be as a human. And I don't own a scale. I never will. I refuse. Trent tried and I told him no. You know, I don't own a scale, but and how I base my level of have I been exercising enough or am I happy with where I am is if my pants will button. Okay, so when my pants don't button and they're the size that they're supposed to be for what I want my body to be at, for what I am happy at, for what I know, like if I were to go run 3 miles right now, I wouldn't totally die. And that's just my personal, that's where I like to be. It doesn't mean that you have to be there. It doesn't mean anyone else has to be there. It's my level of function because when I go home, my mom is probably going to want to go run 3 miles and I want to do that with her. That's just something that's my own personal goal. And it has nothing to do with my weight. But I know that if I can't button my pants, I can't run 3 miles. And that's that's how I base my perspective. And I really don't adjust a lot, except I'm like, oh, Libby, look it. You have not left your house in a week and a half. And maybe it's because I'm working too much. Maybe it's because I'm sad because it's COVID. You know, you don't know. But there's other things that need to be addressed. And it's not my weight. It's my inner turmoil of how I'm feeling. Am I feeling
like healthy habits?
Yeah. Am I feeling like my usual Libby or am I being kind of bitchy Libby? And if I'm being bitchy Libby, I need to fix it because Trent's going to leave me. Like I said, he's my sugar daddy and he's buying me a house.
which P.S. Trent is my brother. So it's really funny to hear her explain him as sugar daddy. I'm like, if he's your sugar daddy, I better be getting something. I want a house. Dang.
Moving. We have a spare room.
No, that's not. I don't want to live with you. That's not what I was getting at.
Well, guys, we're coming up on an hour. So anything else we want to wrap up with?
This has been so great. I would like to ask Becca, just some key takeaways for someone who is hoping to either improve their confidence or kind of start a body positivity journey. What are some key takeaways that you would tell someone that is interested in it?
Oh, that's kind of challenging.
Hard question, I know.
That is, that's good though. I would say first off, go ahead and contact me on IG. Yes. But I would say, okay, so if you're one, like, congratulations that you've acknowledged that's something you want to do. That's awesome. That already says a lot. Two, I would say just start thinking about, like, what is the life that you want to live and what has prevented you from doing that in the past. Often it's like something to do with the body, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then really getting clear about what are those things, and then like, what are those things that you want to do? Like, maybe it's like what, you know, Libby said, she wanted to run that marathon or whatever. So get clear about what those things are, and then start identifying, like, what are the things that are in your way from you doing that? I feel like that's a really good start. Often it's just unwiring, just like, it's so casual. It's unwiring like old, you know, limiting beliefs, right, that are like not aligning with where you want to go. So, you know, like, if you want to wear a red dress, like, what's keeping you from that? And how do you like get in line with that? If it is that you want to go do some, you know, physical competition, like, what has kept you from doing that in the past? Maybe you didn't have healthy eating habits or whatever it may be, but just really getting in line. So I think that that's like a really good place to start. And then also, one thing that I always want to make clear is that everyone was uniquely made for a reason. And that includes your mind, your body, your heart, your soul. So your body is just fine and it is enough. It does not determine your whole value, but it is really fucking beautiful. So there's no reason you can't embrace all of it and just rock the hell out of it. So just really know that you are enough. And it sounds so cliche, but I feel like we don't hear that enough, right? We can never hear that we are enough. Mm-hmm. So, and just to look at like how you can love yourself just a little bit more every day. I feel like Mr. Rogers.
I love that message.
I didn't plan that.
You're the Mr. Rogers of my soul. I'm like everything. I want it all in a t-shirt. Can I just, I'm going to have a pile of t-shirts. I love a t-shirt.
Perfect. We need to start a merch line to go with this podcast.
You should. I have an ongoing list. You should.
You can be our fashion designer.
Perfect. I love it. So are we going to wrap it up?
I think so.
With a big fucking thank you, Becca, for taking
out of time.
An hour and a little, an hour and a half, really, yes, with our pre-talk of the day. This was such an awesome perspective. We've talked, all of us, about how we're, one, we're young, two, we're dietitians, and three, we're, you know, we're all unique in our own way, and we don't have quite the expertise that you do in the body positivity world. So this was amazing.
It was.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
I appreciate you for letting me come on here and be your first guest. I feel so honored. But yeah, to like really just speak to, you know, I love being on your guys' podcast, that it's coming from, you know, you're coming from a clinical background. And I think that that's definitely a merge that needs to happen more often. So I really appreciate the opportunity. And I would love anyone that, you know, wants to reach out to me, please reach out on my Instagram. My modeling is my main page. So it's the underscore Becca JAE. So Becca J. And I would love to talk to anyone who reaches out.
Thanks for joining us on Dietitian Power Hour. This is Libby.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Cody.
We drop episodes every Tuesday night.
Find us on Instagram at Dietitian Power Hour Pod. And you can also follow us on Spotify.